We're in John's 14th chapter, peace. I leave you, my peace I give you. We have heard that before the resurrection, as the 14th chapter takes place during the Last Supper, as well as after the resurrection, thinking of John chapter 20 and 21, when he meets the community of believers, the disciples. Those are the words out of his mouth. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give you. And then he says something that really has captured my attention. Not as the world gives it, do I give it to you. There's a contrast that Jesus makes between worldly peace and heavenly peace, or biblical peace, or divine peace. And that got me thinking. How does the world define peace? Now, how does that work? And then I was thinking, we call it peace when a million armed soldiers on one side of a line on the Korean Peninsula face another million armed soldiers separated by a mile or so, even less than that in certain cases, fully armed, tense, and we call that peace from the world. We celebrate that as peace, even though they remain ready to slaughter each other if something escalates. I was thinking, I grew up, I'm a child of what the world celebrates as peace. They call it the Cold War, as if we avoided all sorts of awful things because we just didn't know about a lot of the carnage that took place. The world looks at peace from a political point of view and announces it or declares it to happen when the violence stops or it is reduced to a certain degree. Now let's apply this even more personal. Far too many are in situations that are really tense, fractured relationships in families. And we call it peace, or we settle for peace if we just stop yelling at each other, even though we can't communicate, or we choose not to communicate, or we're harboring resentment and we really don't want to see each other. We're coexisting in the same house, or we're coexisting in the same family unit, but somehow we say it's peace. We don't like it, but we settle for it because the world sets that as standard. I have to tell you, I'm thinking about this in my own life. I'm thinking about how I have been duped into worldly peace at times in certain relationships and certain events. Jesus says, that is not the kind of peace that I'm giving you. This is not about political settlement or scheming or manipulating to just have it dialed down, even though it's miserable and even though it's tense and even though it's unfulfilling, just kind of grind it out. That isn't what Jesus says at all. The peace that he gives to us is his very power and presence, the divine mercy. And my brothers and sisters, it's fully available to us. So I'm thinking in my own life, how much energy I have wasted in political settlements and trying to keep the 38th parallel in my own lives and my own relationships intact. And settling for misery, for disappointment, for tension, for unfulfillment. If I could have taken a fraction of that energy and said, all right, Lord, like really said, all right, Lord, I'm yours, this is yours. You bequeath peace to me, and you bequeath peace to us. So I'm calling your bluff. I'm telling you to be the God of peace that you have revealed yourself to be. And I'm just sharing with you that I get caught up into the political workings too. And I settle for mediocrity, even though I don't like it. And yet I think that that's okay because that's the worldly kind of peace. And Jesus says, no, I have made you to experience the fullness of life, not just in eternity, but now. But my brothers and sisters, we have to take his words to heart and present ourselves to him in all of those areas, the very next verse in chapter 14, where our hearts are troubled and afraid. You know, the next time you hear me whining about something that isn't right, and I do that, I want you to love me enough and to ask me how I'm praying about it. Or love me enough to say, let's pray right now. Because sometimes I can just get swept away in the worldly designs of peace, which have nothing to do with peace. Gosh, and then we just get more and more discouraged over time. We think this is awful and it's always going to be awful. Jesus says it doesn't have to be that way. And then I find myself saying, but you don't understand. That's how I talk to the king of the universe sometimes. I kind of have a better understanding of this than you do, you know. I mean, I might as well be saying that the way I'm acting. But I want you to love me enough, and I want you to love each other enough to notice when hearts are troubled, when hearts are filled with fear, when life is tough, and it is for all of us, and sometimes it's really tough. I want us to love each other, to notice, and to pray for each other, and to ask each other how we can pray. And that prayer may be with words, that prayer may be with sacrifices that we make. We don't have to announce them. We just do it. We do it because it's the right thing to do. Begging the Lord for this peace that he bequeaths to us. That is his last will and testament. That is his enduring promise. Followed up with the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, the advocate who he sends and unleashes upon us. Why? So that the peace which he promises can be experienced. Will life still be hard? Yeah. But the trouble and the fear will no longer devour and own. Peace I give to you. My own peace I give to you. That's you and that's me. Don't let your hearts be troubled or afraid.